ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर 13 आई एम सॉरी Birth of Emperor, sorry, chapter 12, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 13. Got mixed up. Dasya Prita Mana Raja, Vipray Dhaumya Kripa Divi, Jatakam Karayam Asa, Vachayit Vacha Mangalam. Dasya His. Pritamanaha. Pritamanaha. Satisfied. Raja. King Yudhishthir. Vipray. Vadalearned. I'm sorry. Vadalearned Brahmanas. Dhaumya. Dhaumya. Kripa. Kripa. Adibhi and others also. Jatakam, one of the purificatory processes performed just after the birth of a child. Karayam asa, had them performed. Vachayetva, by recitation. Cha, also. Mangalam, auspicious. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. King Yudhishthir, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmanas, headed by Dhaumya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Translation responsibly. King Yudhishthir, who was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, had the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned Brahmanas, headed by Dhaumya and Kripa, recited auspicious hymns. Purport. It's a long purport, so listen attentively. There is a need for a good and intelligent class of Brahmanas who are expert in performing the purificatory processes prescribed in the system of Varnashram Dharma. Unless such purificatory processes are performed, there is no possibility of good population. And in the age of Kali, the population all over the world is of Shudra quality or lower for want of this purificatory process. It is not possible, however, to revive the Vedic process of purification in this age for want of proper facilities and good brahmanas. But there is the Pancharatrika system also recommended for this age. The Pancharatrika system acts on the Shudra class of men, supposedly the population of the Kali Yuga. And it is the prescribed purificatory process suitable to the age and time. Such a purificatory process is allowed only for spiritual upliftment and not for any other purpose. Spiritual upliftment is never conditioned by higher or lower parentage. After the Garbhadham purificatory process, there are certain other samskaras like simantonanyana, sadhana, bhakshanam, etc. During the period of pregnancy and when the child is born, the first purificatory process is jata karma. This was performed duly by Maharaj Yudhishthir with the help of good and learned brahmanas like Dhaumya, the royal priest, and Kripacharya, who was not only a priest but also a great general. Both these learned and perfect priests, assisted by other good brahmanas, were employed by Maharaj Yudhishthir to perform the ceremony. Therefore, all the samskaras, purificatory processes, are not mere formalities or social functions only, but they are all for practical purposes and can be successfully performed by expert brahmanas like Dhaumya and Kripa. Such brahmanas are not only rare but also not available in this age. And therefore, for the purpose of spiritual upliftment in this fallen age, the Goswamis prefer the purificatory processes under Pancharatrika formulas to the Vedic rites. Kripacharya is the son of the great Rishi Sarvatan and was born in the family of Gautama. The birth is said to be accidental. By chance, the great Rishi Sarvatan met Janapati, a famous society girl of heaven, and the Rishi Sarvatan discharged semen in two parts. By one part immediately a male child, and by the other part a female child were born as twins. The male child was later known as Kripa, and the female child was known as Kripi. Maharaj Shantanu, while engaged in chase in the jungle, picked up the children and brought them up to the Brahminical status by the proper purificatory process. Kripacharya later became a great general like Dronacharya, and his sister was married to Dronacharya. Kripacharya later on took part in the Battle of Kurukshetra and joined the party of Duryodhana. Kripacharya helped kill Abhimanyu, the father of Maharaj Parikshit, but he was still held in esteem by the family of the Pandavas due to his being as great a Brahmana as Dronacharya. When the Pandavas were sent to the forest after being defeated in the gambling game with Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra entrusted the Pandavas to Kripacharya for guidance. After the end of the battle, Kripacharya again became a member of the royal assembly, and he was called during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit for recitation of auspicious Vedic hymns to make the ceremony successful. Maharaj Yudhishthir, while quitting the palace for his great departure to the Himalayas, entrusted Kripacharya with Maharaj Parikshit as his disciple, and he left home satisfied because of Kripacharya's taking charge of Maharaj Parikshit. The great administrators, kings and emperors were always under the guidance of learned brahmanas like Kripacharya, and thus they were able to act properly in the discharge of political responsibilities. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nunvirtam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Johnny Prabhu, bring the chair. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are in this section of this chapter where we are hearing the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. So previous to this, it was observed that the planetary systems were aligned and a very auspicious environment was created for the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. And here, in today's verse, we are hearing that immediately after Maharaj Parikshit's birth, the purificatory process of Jata Karma was performed. So here it's mentioned that Maharaj Yudhishthir was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. So ordinarily also we see that when someone has a baby, then naturally the parents are very happy and satisfied. But Maharaj Yudhishthira's satisfaction is different to the satisfaction of ordinary people. Why? Because Maharaj Yudhishthira understood that Maharaj Parikshit is a pure devotee. And he also understood that Maharaj Parikshit had been protected in the womb by the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So we heard in previous chapters, or in this previous verses, how Lord Vishnu, he entered the womb and he assumed the size of a thumb and he protected Maharaj Parikshit from the Brahmastra weapon, from the burning heat of the Brahmastra weapon. So King Yudhishthira understood that the birth of Maharaj Parikshit is very special and therefore he was satisfied. And he also knew that now he has a good ruler in the future, because in the Vedic times the Kshatriya kings would retire after doing their duties, after ruling, and when they would get old they would take sannyas and then they would retire from worldly affairs. So Maharaj Parikshit was also satisfied because of that, and also he was satisfied because auspicious planets were aligned to welcome Maharaj Parikshit. So in yesterday's verse we heard how the stellar influences were arranged to favor Maharaj Parikshit. So these days most people don't believe in astrology. They don't believe that how their life is controlled by demigods who have influence over certain planets, and those planets are influencing our destiny. And in fact, one can know one's karma by going to a good astrologer and he can read our chart and tell us. And of course, pure devotees are not subject to karma. And we see even when Lord Krishna appeared on the planet, the planets were aligned in a very auspicious manner. It's described in the Krishna book that the Rohini star was very prominent. So this Rohini star is under the direct control of Lord Brahma. So, and all other auspicious planets were also aligned in order to favor the Lord, in order to welcome the Supreme Lord. So even when a pure devotee descends, the planets are arranged in such a way to welcome his appearance in this world. So not that such a devotee or the Supreme Lord is dependent upon the planets, because they are above the modes of material nature. Just like if someone very respectable comes, we will arrange for a good reception to greet that person, that personality, to honor them. So even if the Prime Minister of Australia comes, generally a nice reception will be thrown to welcome them. So in the same way, when a pure devotee descends, all the planets are aligned in such a way to welcome them, to welcome their appearance. And also at the same time, so there's a positive influence on them also. So this is an unknown science these days, and astrology has become a big business, and there's a lack of qualified astrologers. So in today's verse we are hearing how Maharaj Yudhishthira performed samskaras. So when Parikshit Maharaj took birth, Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately performed the Jata Karma samskara. So what is the purpose of a samskara? A samskara is basically like an impression on the mind. And the purpose of performances of samskaras is basically to uplift the jiva, or the living entity, from the mode of ignorance to the platform of knowledge. That's the basic idea. That's the idea behind samskara. To uplift the consciousness of the living entity to the platform of knowledge, where one can eventually understand what one's real identity is and what one's relationship is with Krishna as a servant. And that's, in other words, if we understand our true identity as a part and parcel of Krishna, that is spiritual rebirth. And also another purpose of samskaras is, which is in line with the first purpose, is to uplift the quality of the population. So as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, that the reason that the population in Kali Yuga is so degraded because there is a lack of performance of samskaras. And here Prabhupada gives a few examples like Garbhadhan Samskar, which we read a lot in Prabhupada's books, and a couple of other samskaras are mentioned here. Because these samskaras are not being performed, that's why Varna Shankara is being produced. And that was one of the reasons why Arjuna didn't want to fight the battle of Kurukshetra. Because Arjuna feared that if all the kings are annihilated, who's going to uphold the family tradition? The women will become polluted, and then because there's no samskaras taking place, and eventually unwanted population will take birth, and then once you have unwanted population, everything is in chaos. So in Kali Yuga, that's what we have. Because of a lack of samskaras, the consciousness of the people, and especially we see of the children these days, is highly degraded. So the children these days are all day on Facebook and Twitter, and they're chatting online, or they're engaged in very abominable activities. And this is because of a lack of proper purificatory processes. And these days nobody believes in that. And they take it simply, merely as a ritual. So generally samskaras are for householders, because householders are absorbed in worldly affairs and they put their... They have spiritual upliftment as the last priority. The other things take a higher priority, like worldly duties, activities related to the body, you know, economic development, sense gratification. So the whole idea is to gradually uplift the householders. So generally samskaras are for the householders, and there are different kinds of samskaras depending on the mode of the worshipper and the priest. So there are Vaishnav samskars, and then there are non-Vaishnav samskars. We see the vast majority of samskaras are performed to demigods, and for the purpose of fruitive activities. So as Krishna explains in the Gita, the very reason that living entities take to demigod worship is so that they can get quick results, quick fruitive results, so they can engage in basically sense enjoyment. That's why demigod worship is very popular. So these different samskaras are performed with a view as for material enjoyment. So does that mean in Krishna consciousness, should we perform samskaras or should we ignore them? So this question can arise in the minds of devotees. And we see that Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he wrote the Sat Kriya Sar Deepika. Or in other words, it's the book on the ten samskaras. And he has also, in that book, there's a section on Samskara Deepika, which is the rules for taking sannyas, for those grihasthas who want to take sannyas. And so for Vaishnavas also, samskaras are important, because we need all the help. We need as much help as we can get to become Krishna conscious. And so Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he mentioned in his introduction that he wrote this book specifically for the householders who are within and without the Varnashram system. So for the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmachari, Grihastha Sannyas, Vanaprastha Sannyasis, and for those, for like many of us who were not part of the Varnashram, we did not grow up like that, but we have taken to the process of devotional service. And for those who have a spiritual master, who are in the proper line, so for them he has specifically written this book, Sat Kriya Sar Deepika. And the whole idea behind that is so that devotees can maintain the principles of Vaishnava teachings, or devotees can maintain the Bhagavat Marg. So with that purpose in mind, Gopal Bhatt Goswami wrote the book. So we see, and for Vaishnavas also, the same samskaras are performed, maybe not all of them. He has listed 10 as most prominent. But the goal is Vishnu, it is not demigod worship. And if you read the mantras in the book, they all are like different names of Vishnu you read. So there's this whole list of samskaras. The first one is, he mentions this Vivaha samskar. So, one marries, and so marriage is, that's why it's a samskar. So one will be able to remember the Supreme Lord. And in that also there are different, you know, subcategories. And then the next one is, which we read a lot in Prabhupada's books, is Garbhadhan Samskar. So it's the samskara of conception or before or impregnation. So yesterday we heard how, you know, Prabhuji was mentioning that devotees encouraged to chant 50 rounds before conception. And there's so many other rules and regulations. Then the next one is Pumsavan. Or in other words, the rite for making a male child. So this one is conducted after the third month of pregnancy. Then the next one is Siman Thonayanam, which Prabhupada mentions in today's purport, which is the parting of the wife's hair. And the whole idea behind that is to protect the mother and the child from evil spirits during the period of gestation. Then the next one is Soshyanti Homa, or it's the rite for safe delivery of the child. Then there's Jata Karma, which is mentioned in today's verse. So this is the birth ceremony. And this is, the whole idea behind that is for the development of the intellect of the child. So this samskara is performed. So the intellect is developed. And also the umbilical cord is cut. There's a whole ritual behind that. And then the next one is Nishkramanam, in which the child is taken out for the first time. Then there is Namakarana, or the name giving ceremony, the 12th day after birth, this is performed. Then there is Paushtika Karma, the ceremony for continued health of the child. Then there is Annaprasana, the first grain ceremony, which we see in the temple. Sometimes devotees bring the child to, you know, to a guru, spiritual master, exalted Vaishnava, and then they give them the first grains. So this is performed when the child is 6 months old. Then there is Putra Murdha Bhi Granam, or smelling the son's head. So all parents do that with affection, but there's a whole samskara also. Then there's Chudra Karanam, the hair cutting ceremony. For me, I remember my parents did this one only. The Chudra Karanam. So I don't know whether it was proper, but anyhow, some brahmanas were called and they did the hair cutting, and I gave them a very hard time, I remember. So we can see Gangeshwar Prabhu also does this one, and kids are screaming, and you can hear them in the Brahmachari ashram. One time he mentioned one child bit him so hard. So it can be quite a challenge for the priest also. Depends how cooperative the child is. So this is performed the third or fifth year after birth. Then there is Upanayanam, or the rite of wearing the sacred thread. In other words, it's basically taking the child to the teacher for formal education. It indicates the start of formal education. And the sacred thread is given. This is performed in the eighth year. Then there is Samvartana, or the graduation ceremony. So this is around the age of 25. So the child has gone to Gurukul and now is graduated. And now if he wants, he can take to Grihastha Ashram. So he can. Or if he wants, he'll just stay as a Naishtika Brahmachari. And then there is Samvartana. That's done. And Antyeshti, the funeral ceremony. So these are like, you know, 10 or 15 samskaras. So should devotees perform these samskaras? Yes and no. Prabhupada said that if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without any offense under the direction of a spiritual master and follows the four regs, then all these samskaras are automatically performed. Because the whole idea is to bring one to the platform of knowledge, and by chanting Hare Krishna, one automatically develops knowledge and renunciation. So one will be fixed in one's constitutional position. And devotees asked Prabhupada, should all of these samskaras be performed? Prabhupada said, as far as necessary. And in today's purport, we also heard how Srila Prabhupada mentions that for a lack of qualified brahmanas, it is not possible to perform all these samskaras. And there's this room conversation with Prabhupada, room conversation with Malcolm on the July 18, 1973 in London. So where Paramahamsa Swami is asking, Srila Prabhupada, I wanted to ask you that in your lectures, you continually speak of the 10 samskaras that children should have. And Prabhupada says, well, that is not possible. Paramahamsa, oh, Prabhupada, that is not possible. It is very difficult. One samskara, that initiation samskara and marriage samskara too. 3 samskaras can be done, not the 10. It is not possible. Now the circumstances will not allow. It is very difficult. So the point is, because qualified brahmanas are lacking, it is not possible to perform all these samskaras. So if we have a qualified brahmana in our community, well and good. But if not, then just the ones which are necessary. So we see for us the vivaha samskara, antyeshti, you know, the initiation as Prabhupada mentions here. So a few can be done, but that's not the main thing. Our main focus is on the chanting of Hare Krishna and the Pancharatra Gavidhi. That's our main focus. And Prabhupada didn't emphasize the samskara so much because then devotees can have a tendency of getting sidetracked, and then they put away the main thing, which is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we see the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the Yuga Dharma. So there's two, there's the Bhagavat Marg and then there's the Pancharatrika Marg. And Prabhupada mentions that both of these have to go simultaneously, especially for the neophyte. So it's like we have in Melbourne, there's so many trams run on tracks. So unless it's a monorail, but trams it runs on two tracks. There's a if the track, one side of the track is broken, the tram will derail. So in the same way for us, we need both the Bhagavat and Pancharatrika Vidhi. So the Yuga Dharma in Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So in different ages, different methods of worship are prominent. So in Satya Yuga, it is meditation on Vishnu within the heart. So because the environment is very conducive for meditation, there is not much distraction. So therefore that method is recommended, is prescribed. That doesn't mean that the Maha Mantra wasn't there. It was there, but it wasn't emphasized as much. And then in the next Yuga, Treta Yuga, it is performance of sacrifices, huge sacrifices. And then in Dwapara Yuga, it is full-fledged deity worship, very opulent deity worship. And in Kali Yuga, these three methods cannot be performed solely, because we lack mental clarity. Our minds are always agitated. We lack enough resources to perform yagyas, and we lack qualified brahmanas and resources even to perform very opulent deity worship. So in Kali Yuga, the main process of purification is chanting the holy names of the Lord. And even in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it's stressed that how chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Yuga Dharma. And we also see that in the process of In the process of devotional service, which comprises of 9 items, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atma Nivedanam. So the first 3 are the Bhagavat Marg. So Shravanam, Kirtanam and Vishnu Smaranam. And the rest fall under Pancharatrika. And we see examples like Haridas Thakur. He was simply engaged in the chanting of the holy names, 300,000 names in a day. So he did not engage in Pancharatrika. He did not engage in deity worship. So he was chanting, that comes to 192 rounds a day. So he was fully absorbed and he was chanting 192 rounds every day without fail. We see Shukdev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So Maharaj Parikshit became perfect simply by the process of Shravanam. And Shukdev Goswami, he engaged in Kirtanam. Then we see Prahlad Maharaj, he was always remembering the Supreme Lord, Smaranam. And even we see Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna did not get any formal initiation. 2.7, he surrendered to the Lord. And then 2.10, 11 onwards, the teachings begin. So we see that the Bhagavat Marg is independent of Pancharatrika. But for us, both of them are required. Though we begin the process of devotional service by the Bhagavat Marg. So that's why there's a lot of emphasis on Shravanam. And it's for most of us, unless we're very pious, like for most of us, we began the process of devotional service maybe by taking prasadam or by hearing the holy name coming across the Harinam or by hearing some lectures. So when we heard lectures by Vaishnavas, which were to our level, we got inspired to take up to the process of Krishna consciousness. So we see how in the beginning we take shelter mainly of the Bhagavad Vidhi. And even Prabhupada, he introduced deity worship not immediately. Prabhupada propagated the Hare Krishna movement by the chanting of the holy names. So Prabhupada sat Tompkins Square Park. Prabhupada was chanting and many people got attracted. And then gradually Prabhupada trained them. And when they were qualified, then Prabhupada gave them deity worship. And in the beginning also, he gave them very simple deity worship. And later he introduced all the elaborate rules and regulations. So the Pancharatrika Vidhi is the process of deity worship. And that's one of the 5 angas of bhakti also. So in nectar devotion, that is stressed. And of the 64 items of devotional service, so many of them fall under the Pancharatrika Vidhi. So for us, both are very important and they feed into each other. So it's not that Pancharatrika Vidhi is only for the neophytes, but we see even the most advanced devotees, they also engage in deity worship. But however, there's a difference in consciousness. So for the way, if we take example of very advanced devotees like or with even the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Jagannath Puri and when he saw the chakra on the chakra on top of the Jagannath Mandir, he was so eager to see the Supreme Lord. And then The difference is between the consciousness of an advanced and neophyte devotee is that the neophyte devotee sees the deity as the representation of the Supreme Lord, whereas an advanced devotee sees the deity as Krishna. So though we might theoretically know that Krishna is the deity form, is the Supreme Lord, it's non-different, but in our dealings and in our activities, it comes out as the deity form is a representation of the Supreme Lord. So that's the main difference. And for example, when we are in the temple, we behave very casually. The Shishi Gaurnithai, Shishi Radha Ballabh, Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Srila Prabhupada are all present. But we behave very casually in front of them. But maybe we can imagine if Srila Prabhupada was in his animated form here, or if our own guru was here, then we are very, very careful how in our dealings, you know, we don't talk or we won't, you know, take out a phone and start talking. So we are very, very careful in our dealings. So in other words, we are seeing the deity as a representation of the Supreme Lord, the pictures as the representation. So for an advanced devotee, when they see the deity, they know it's the Supreme Lord. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Jagannath Puri, he was so anxious to see Lord Jagannath, because he knew he was seeing Krishna. He was going to see Krishna. And he was in ecstasy when he saw the chakra on top of the mandir. And when he went inside the temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in ecstasy when he saw Lord Jagannath. And that was from such a distance, because the Puri temple is very big. Lord Jagannath's temple is very big. There is the Garuda Stamba. Then that itself is a big hall. And then the next is Jagan Mohan. It's a big Kirtan hall. And then after that is the hall where Lord Jagannath is. And then inside there is the altar. So it's quite a considerable distance. So from Garuda Stamba you can see Lord Jagannath. And just from there he went into ecstasy. And he fainted. And we know the pastime how the guards were about to throw him out, but Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya stopped them and took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. And then there he detected that actually he's alive, he's not dead, and that he's in ecstasy. And then Lord Nityananda and all the associates, in the meanwhile, they caught up. And then by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to external consciousness. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could not revive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his external consciousness. Also, there's the example of Gadadhar Pandit. He had as his worshipable deity Tota Gopinath. And he was serving Tota Gopinath for his whole life with full devotion. And even we see the Goswamis, it's not that the Goswamis were very advanced so they didn't have deities. They also had deities. In Vrindavan, there are the temples of the Goswamis. So the difference is in how, in the consciousness, how the deity is viewed. So for us, especially for us, deity worship is very important, and especially for the Grihasthas. Actually, one can attain perfection simply by Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam also. Prabhupada says that if one performs any of the items of devotional service properly, just one of them can lead you to perfection. So if we do Shravanam, if we just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can be perfect. We don't have to do daily worship. But the thing is, how many of us can chant the holy name constantly and with full attention? Because 16 rounds itself is a challenge in terms of making it attentive. And how many of us can hear the Srimad Bhagavatam all day? Maharaj Parikshit heard for 7 days without any problem. He was not disturbed by the pangs of hunger, thirst. And one lecture I was hearing by Sachinandan Maharaj, he was saying devotees have ants in their dhotis and saris. So we are very restless, Sachinandan Maharaj was saying. In other words, we cannot chant and hear all the time. and that also with rapt attention. It's not possible. Because our minds are very agitated in Kali Yuga. So therefore for us, it's very important that we also engage in deity worship, along with hearing and chanting. So they both have to go on simultaneously. And if you see the morning program Srila Prabhupada gave us comprises of both Bhagavat and Pancharatrika Vidhi. And in fact, Pancharatrika Vidhi is accompanied by the chanting of the holy names. So in the morning, there is Mangal Arati, and then there is, along with Mangal Arati, there is the chanting of the Maha Mantra going on. So in all kinds of deity worship, it is accompanied by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So right now we are having Srimad Bhagavatam class. So one doesn't have to be initiated to perform Pancharatrika Vidhi. There are some items in which one needs second initiation. But still, if we come to the morning program, we are doing most of them automatically. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he placed a lot of emphasis on the morning program. And so, deity worship basically helps us to understand that the Supreme Lord has a form. Because we are then in the material world from time immemorial, and we have an impersonal conception of the Supreme Lord. So, the deity worship establishes the personal form of the Lord. And also, it's especially recommended for householders because so then Krishna can be the center of the home. Because the mentality of a conditioned soul is that Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, and I am the master and proprietor. So that's the mentality of a conditioned soul. So, but when we have a deity in the temple or in one's home, then that consciousness will shift. It should shift. Because Krishna is the proprietor, then Krishna is the proprietor of the home. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he is the controller, and everything has to be centered around him. So if you see in the temple, everything is centered around Radha Vallabha. It's not that Radha Vallabha's program is centered around our program. Our program is centered around them. So the whole idea is behind that is we understand the Supreme Lord has a form, and because we are very impersonal by nature, so we understand Supreme Lord has a form and we can serve, and it gives us an opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord. Because we have ants in our dhotis and saris, even if we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, after some time we'll be restless. And then we have to do things. And then Prabhupada centered everything for the pleasure of the deity. So in the morning the scores are read out. Bhoga is offered. The deities are dressed. And then preaching is carried out all for the pleasure of the deities. So the whole idea is even if we are out there preaching, doing book distribution or college preaching or whatever, or prasadam distribution, it is all for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. That's the whole idea. And from the preaching point of view, also we see how Pancharatrika Marg is very important. Because Prabhupada said, if you know, I can chant, I can sit under a tree and chant, but no one will get attracted. I mean, some people will get attracted. We can chant in a very attractive way. There are chant fests going on. Kirtans, people get attracted. But what really, because a lot of people are very mundane, so deity worship attracts them. When you do something big, it attracts the common mass of people. So Prabhupada said, I can sit under a tree and I can chant and give lectures. So Prabhupada, he built so many huge temples like Melbourne. In India, there are so many big temples. Mayapur, temple of Vedic understanding is coming up. So something very gorgeous is built. All that endeavor is made so people become attracted. And when people see very opulent deity worship, they become attracted. So deity worship in itself is big preaching. And also from initiation point of view, there's this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says, Diksha purascharya vidhi apeksha na kare jivas varshe achandala sabare udhare. This is from Madhya Leela, chapter 15, text 108. It says, one does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class, chandala, can be delivered. So, we hear on one hand, here it mentions that one does not have to go initiation, undergo initiation, if one simply chants the holy name. But on the other hand, initiation is stressed. So again, the point is, actually initiation is there, whether it is in the heart or there's a whole elaborate arrangement made. We see Brahma was initiated within the heart. Arjuna was initiated. Arjuna accepted a spiritual master, Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit was initiated by Shukdev Goswami. But the process of Diksha is also required. And Jiva Goswami, he gives sufficient Shastra to prove that the process of Pancharatrika Diksha is also required. I'll just read you one or two quotations. This is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas 2-3-4. Even though born in a Brahman family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmana family, one becomes a Brahmana only after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony. Unless one is initiated as a Brahmana, one cannot worship the holy name properly. And then there's another one, Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.6. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. And then another one, Hari Bhakti Vilas 2.10. It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Giving him everything, body, mind and intelligence, one must take Vaishnava initiation from him. And Hari Bhakti Vilas 17.11-12 also discusses the Purashraya process. Or Purashraya, basically Pura means before and Charya means activities. So in other words, activities to be performed before initiation. So Prabhupada, that's why initiation is not given to us straight away. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, for 6 months we have to, Prabhupada's system was for 6 months. You engage in the, I think it's time to finish class, so it's an indication. For 6 months, you follow the process, four regs, chant 16 rounds, and if one does it properly, then one gets initiated. And then when further one does one sadhana properly, one gets second initiation. Again, the principle is the same that here Prabhupada mentions in the purport that, in other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatrika Vidhi, deity worship, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize that the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the Supreme Soul. At such a time, when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, cannot be identified with any material sound. So the point is, we are taking the holy name again as a representation of the Supreme Lord, as a mundane sound. So, and our body and mind are so polluted, they're so agitated, so we need this help also. And it is also the items of devotional service. Vandanam, Satyam. So this is all a part of devotional service. And we have to perform both. And here in this verse we also hear how the learned Brahmanas headed by Dhaumya and Kripa recited auspicious hymns. And it's interesting that Kripacharya was a Brahmana and a general. And Kripacharya was involved in the killing of Abhimanyu. And what's most interesting is that Maharaj Parikshit he's present to recite auspicious hymns at the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, though he was involved in the killing of his father, Abhimanyu. But because Kripacharya was a Brahmana, so he was respected. So here we can learn how the Brahmanas are to be respected. Even Dronacharya, he was respected. And Dronacharya didn't hesitate to impart the secrets to Arjuna. And Arjuna was on the other side. So they are so exalted. And here Maharaj Yudhishthir invited Kripacharya to recite auspicious hymns. And later on, when he takes sannyas, he goes to Himalayas, he entrusts Maharaj Parikshit to Kripacharya as his disciple. And so he can train him up. So it's quite interesting. So I'll stop here. Today's appearance of Jiva Goswami, I didn't get time to prepare. Maybe in this illustrious audience, someone can shed light. And one there's also. Does anyone have any questions or comments or corrections?
The nine processes of devotional service, you said the first three are Bhava Mara. The last six are Panchavita Mara. I've never heard that before. I wonder how becoming a friend, becoming, surrendering everything to Krishna, how is that Panchavita Mara?
I read this in Prabhupada's, in the Veda base, in Prabhupada's conversations, how is surrendering everything to the Lord and becoming His friend. I guess because it's in relationship to the deity. That would be my understanding.
Not necessarily.
Sorry. I can show it to you afterwards. I didn't write the reference, but it's in the Veda base.
You say that your devotee doesn't suffer karma. So from the Prabhupada was taken, what was that?
Yeah, for a pure devotee, it's the Supreme Lord takes charge. So he gives whatever is required for he basically gives what he wants to give to pure devotee in a certain way. So yeah, pure devotee is above the laws of karma. And the very fact is we are in this material body, so it will get diseased also, because the nature of the body is it will be subject to material laws in the sense old age, disease and death. So that will happen to a pure devotee also, but it's not under the laws of karma. It's on a higher, from a higher platform, it's orchestrated by Krishna. So pure devotee sees like that.
When astrologer predicted, did Prabhupada's chart predicted that he would open 108 temples when he was 70 years old?
Yeah.
Prabhupada consulted with astrologers when he said it wasn't very important for us.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Do you know how met Mahaprabhu?
Who?
Jesus Goswami. Do you know how he met Mahaprabhu?
No. ending it. Yes, madam.
Within our society, we do have qualified examiners. So, how do we understand the open-ended ceremony? Because, especially for the people who are so called born in Indian families, in Brahmana families, especially in South India, you know, the open-ended ceremony is given so much importance, and there is sometimes so much pressure on the result.
Question is Upanayanam relevant for us?
Is that? Yeah, and we have qualified Brahmanas.
Yeah.
Still, the Upanayanam should be done for a child, or they should wait till they are qualified and they should
be in ISKCON. I haven't seen Upanayanam being performed, though ISKCON has many qualified Brahmanas. And as I was reading, Upanayanam basically indicates the start of formal education. So, more emphasis is placed on Diksha in ISKCON. Otherwise, you know, devotees might get confused. Here also you're getting Brahman thread, but it is three strands. When you get second, it's six. So, I guess initiation for us includes Upanayanam. When we do get initiated, when we get Brahman, that includes Upanayanam. From what I understand, Prabhupada said, perform only those which are necessary. And this one I haven't seen as necessary. Would you like to add on that?
Yeah. So there's different ways of Upanayanam and Vaishnava Diksha. Upanayanam is generally the AP of Pranagarga.
Yeah, that's
the point. Whereas in Diksha, not the Harinam. Harinam, of course, the Hare Krishna Mantra has given officially. And Vaishnava Brahman Diksha, that is meant for deity worship. So there is difference between Upanayanam and Vaishnava Diksha. Then in this one, we don't do Upanayanam as such, but I have seen here Upanayanam happening because one devotee is handling some of the pressure, they're from South India, some of the pressure to have the threat. So one qualified Brahman actually did Upanayanam for him and gave Brahma guidance. So still, that doesn't mean anything in terms of Harinam initiation or Brahman initiation. So it's just the Upanayanam. If it is so insistent, I don't know.
Yeah.
We have to take guidance of seeing the devotees.
Yeah.
But it has happened.
Yeah, I think quite nicely explained. So, yeah, so it's not initiation, you just get the Brahma Gayatri, not the full.
Just make a comment before you go to the subject. You'll see in Mayapur, if you know about student training in the schools in Mayapur, they're getting Brahma initiation very early. So, like when we saw the constellation of the Panchatattva, some of the very little boys will be able to do the service and the Brahmins. They'll be just like washing, keep washing the Yamsha.
Were they given Upanayanam or Brahman initiation?
Understanding they say that if you go to Mayapur, then you'll find some very, very young Brahmins.
Yes, probably.
What Govinda said, opportunity is much importance. He gave more importance to initiation by one of his spiritual master.
Yeah.
In his expectation.
Yeah.
That was the main emphasis.
Yeah.
And for your information, by way of initiation, His Holiness Jayavatala Swami on Radha's knee gave initiation to 500 people.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.
So you can see how much these disciples of Prabhupada have been. Arjuna Swami,
Guru
Maharaj,
they
want to know. So you see how much they spread. Krishna consciousness throughout the world.
Yeah.
So you can see the atmosphere they are creating in my mind.
Yeah.
So now secondly, you know, Jiva Goswami. Now Jiva Goswami is only son of Anupam Goswami. As you know, they are brothers, Janardhan and Anupam Goswami. And Anupam, he left body quite early after seeing Mahaprabhu. Then what happened that at 20 years, Jiva Goswami lost his mother also. So it was a great setback for him. And he wanted to be completely surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to Mayapur. And there, I should say Mayapur. We should say? Puri, that's right. Jagannath Puri. So he went to Jagannath Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there he prayed to Nityananda Prabhu with great jubilation and with ecstasy, and he wanted complete shelter of Nityananda Prabhu, because as we know that without the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu you can't leave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now Nityananda Prabhu gave instruction to go to Varanasi and study Sanskrit and other languages. And as you know, in Varanasi University, they have a full section, Jiva Goswami library, where there were a lot of books all written by Jiva Goswami. Then after that, he came to Vrindavan, and Jiva Goswami, Radha Goswami, they loved him so much. They gave so much elaborate arrangements for him. Then he asked Sanatana Goswami to give initiation. Sanatana Goswami said, no, you get it from Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami gave him a lot of hard tasks and tried to find out how much he is sincere and all that. Of course he knew he was his nephew, but and you can see, even though nephew doesn't matter, they want to see completely how much surrendered Jiva Goswami was. So then he was initiation and he did so much work that you know, Bhakti Sandhara and all that. So it's a great privilege to hear something about Jiva Goswami, because he is the authority on the very great teacher, and Prabhupada gave a lot of importance to Jiva
Goswami.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mahatma. Yeah, I'd like to point to you, mentioned that Prabhupada put more emphasis on Diksha. So if the samskara of Upanayanam was encouraged, you'll have a lot of devotees walking around with a Brahman thread, with a thread and saying, you know, I'm a Brahmana and I've been initiated and all that. There'll be a lot of confusion in the society. So that's why that's not emphasized.
Even Dikshawala in Vrindavan, they also show
here. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm initiated.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Initiation is always there, it's not that it's not there. There's different kinds of initiation. I think there's three kinds. Maybe I think one time you were giving lecture. In the heart, there's initiation in the heart. Maybe you or someone was giving. There's three types of initiation, I can't remember. But there's in the heart, you get initiated in the heart. Like Brahma, he got enlightened from within. But, you know, for us, the whole arrangement is made so that we take the process very seriously. Prabhupada also said. So he said, I'm doing all this arrangement, this yajna, getting all the Vaishnavas, the Shaligram Shila, the deity. So we take this something very serious. We don't take it casually.
Blessing from the whole district succession.
Yeah.
We are getting blessing from the whole district. That means Krishna.
I have to study this very carefully to answer your question properly. Yeah, that's a very good point, yeah.
So it makes us more responsible.
That's right. Yeah. So that formality is, everything is there to impress upon us the seriousness of the matter. We're taking vows. It's a very good point you made. You know, the Vaishnavas are there, Vishnu is there, sacred fire, taking the four vows, and fifth one chanting Hare Krishna. So this to impress upon us is very serious, and it's making it very, very official.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was stressing about the sincerity.
No, he...
What he means by saying in the Bhakti Lila, that one can...
We just can't take verse, one verse out of context.
Yes.
And then just say, that's just the all in all. But in the purport, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami and gives so many references, saying that Diksha is also important.
It is important. Mahaprabhu is talking about sincerity. If you are so sincere that you are chanting, if you are getting into it in the heart, like you said.
But are we chanting purely? That's the point. We can't do it.
Who was the scripture master of the
Haridas Thakur? Not sure. Gopa, you know? Or in this? No. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Lord Chaitanya. That's right, exactly. From he took initiation. Krishna took initiation. Krishna Swayam Bhagwan.
Yeah.
He took.
So
they don't break the system. But as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was interesting. From Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he got, you know, the rituals and all were not done, but he got initiated. So I read somewhere. So, but generally the Lord adheres to the system to set an example.
Yeah, we have to take initiation definitely, but we have to chant sincerely.
Of course, that's the whole idea.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Sarasana Bhagavatam ki.